Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
And that's the way we're going to start the episode. all right. I'm going to talk over our theme song as we get there. Because Trev, as everyone will know in a few seconds, I was trying to reconnect with Ryan Whitfield, my first co-host from many, many years ago, to get him on this podcast with us. And Trev and I were just talking about it and the pre-show, which was only a few seconds. And then when I tried to text him, it got in the way on my computer of the switchboard, so I couldn't start the theme song. So that's my long way of saying I effed up, dude. I totally effed up the intro. I think that might be Ryan now, who's actually in the waiting room. But why not just intro him right off the bat? Hey, Ryan, is that you?
It is me. On my way in.
All right. So we've already had – so this is nothing new for Ryan, that we've had technical difficulties in the past. We just totally effed up the beginning, Ryan. I'm sure that's no surprise to you. So welcome back, man. This is it. I'm going to go ahead and just start it where we are. Welcome, everyone, to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. As usual, my name is Hakun Wong. I'm editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time. With me, as always, is my co-host from Full Press Coverage, Ref the District, and, of course, right here on FGT, the man, the myth, the legend, Trevor Storrs. How you doing, Trev?
Hakun, I'm great, man. How are you guys doing tonight? Ryan, what's up, bro? Good to see you again.
Yeah, that's right. And that's right. And everyone just heard, I'm in a time warp here. I feel like I'm stepping out of DeLorean from the movie Back to the Future, because last week we had OG Joey Alibro on the show, and yep. This week we have the OG podcast co-host, Ryan Whitfield, on the show. Hey, Ryan, man, how's it going?
Good, long time. I do just have to say quickly that I don't think Joey should get that much love since I had to carry him on the show for like 3 years, but that's fine. I'll let it slide. I'll be the
That's right, your back still hurts,
Joey.
Right? You're still having back problems carrying him all that time.
Right.
Dude, Ryan, I got to ask you, have you ever gone back and listened to our very first episode back in 2015?
I feel like I'd crawl out of my skin if I did that. But
yeah,
it's
so
like
brutal. It's so brutal. If you want a cringeworthy half hour, go listen to our first episode back in 2015. We were horrible. We were absolutely horrible. But boy, it was fun though. It was all tons of fun, and we got lots of stuff to be talking about. Important Week 14 games, the impact of the tie between the Commanders and the Giants, Baker Mayfield getting waived and claimed, Deshaun Watson less than stellar in his return to the Browns, QB injuries to the 49ers and the Ravens, Tom Brady and the Bucks picking it up in Monday Night Football, updated AFC and NFC championship predictions, and much, much more. Oh my gosh, I put too much stuff on our agenda today, didn't I? Let's get rolling. All right, so Ryan, welcome back to the show. It's awesome to have you back on because it's been a while. I mean, it's been a minute, hasn't it? I mean, I can't even remember. I think maybe last year was the last time you were on the show.
Yeah, I think officially ended my tenure the winter of 2020, and I think since then I've been on once per season.
We got you on the season.
My first time this year, but yeah, it's been about that the last couple of years now.
And as everyone knows, when Ryan and I are on the same show, set your expectations low, and we won't disappoint you. So we've done it. Good job, Ryan. Well done. I actually want to give us a little bit of a light applause here because we should be recognized for what we were able to accomplish getting Ryan on the show. All right. So with that said, the first thing that we want to talk about here are the Commanders and the Giants, because of course they tied. Since overtime was introduced in 1974, they've been 29 tied games. Five seasons have had two ties, and you guessed it, 2022 is one of them, and the Commanders and the Giants both have three ties apiece since the beginning of overtime. I didn't know that. So, I mean, let's start here with the Commanders fan on the podcast. Let's talk about this with Trev. You know, we talked about this last week. We kind of teed it up. This was something that was going to impact NFC East and what would happen in the playoffs. What are your thoughts on how this tie impacts the Commanders and Giants and their playoff chase.
Oh, my gosh. It's such a pain in the butt. I hate ties, especially when the games mean something in December. A tie happens, it just throws another wrench in what already is a wrench in the playoff picture. So
right.
I know the Giants are sitting, I think, sixth in the playoff spot in the wild card at the 7-4-1. We're currently
right.
outside looking in because Seattle won, so now they're 7-5. So
yep.
Luckily, we play the Giants again right after this bye this week, so it's not like we don't know what we're going up against. But I just hate having a tie. Somebody should have won that game. I mean, you to do it, and you don't do it. It's kind of embarrassing. But also, it's like, I guess we're evenly matched. I don't know. It's just embarrassing in the NFL to have a tie.
Can you actually have more unhappy people on the field than when you have a tie? I mean, like everybody's unhappy. No one's happy about a tie.
No.
And I'll ask you, it is crazy. And I know that, Ryan, you probably never experienced this as a Patriots fan because the Patriots actually have zero ties in the overtime era. And actually, if you go all the way back to the beginning of time, have had only 9 ties. But those are all like way, way back in the 60s and so on. So, I mean, what do you think here about this tie between the Commanders and the Giants? Did you even care? But more importantly, how does it impact the playoff race? Hey, Ryan, I think we're getting about one-third of what you're saying.
Guys, let me try taking this off speaker. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, as a person who I worked with on the show for a long time, how much I hate the Giants. But I like Brian Daboll a lot, and not because of his Patriot ties, but because I just loved what he did in Buffalo. So I don't want to root against the Giants, but I was really hoping the Giants would lose that game just so I could, go back to my friends that are Giants fans and let them know just how fake that start was by the Giants. But what I think would have solidifies for me is just how mediocre the entire league is right now. I really think it's a 3-team race in the NFL this year, and I think all 3 of those teams are in the AFC. I think the NFC is bad. I think the Eagles in any other year would not be as dominant or as good as they look right now. The real teams I would think were contenders in the NFC are not real contenders. So in terms of impact in the playoffs, that throws another wrench into tie-breaking scenarios. And obviously the NFC East is a really tightly contested division. But I really don't think it matters in the long run because I think whoever comes out of the NFC is getting smoked in the Super Bowl this year.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm not totally surprised you're going to say that. Strong takes is definitely right. Is definitely on brand for you, Ryan. So let me ask you this question. Let me flip over because you said it's a 3-team race in the AFC. So I guess you're counting your Patriots out this year.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm counting out the Patriots until further notice. I think last time I was on the show, I told you that I had given up on football because the Patriots had started to really become a perennial loser again. So I'm a big MLS fan. But if I have to watch football, I'm a Bills fan now. So after all those years of tormenting the Bills Mafia on here, I am officially a Buffalo Bills fan until the Patriots fire Bill Belichick.
Nice. All right. Well, that is shocking. That is absolutely shocking. But then the Bills obviously being one of those AFC teams in the race. So, all right, well, let's get back. We're going to get to that later in the show because I definitely want to talk more about that. But let's talk about Baker Mayfield for a second. I know nobody wants to talk about Baker Mayfield except for his commercials, which I think are fantastic. But the Carolina Panthers waived Mayfield on Monday, something that interim coach Steve Wilks said was a mutual agreement between the two sides. Wilks said Mayfield asked to be released after finding out he wouldn't be the starting or backup quarterback in Carolina. What a fall from grace that is. And the Rams, the only team to put in a claim, acquired Mayfield off waivers. They are going to inherit the remaining $1.35 million on Mayfield's contract. Mayfield flew to Los Angeles and could play as soon as Thursday night football against the Las Vegas Raiders as the Rams sent in the playbook and said, study it on the flight over. That sounds like a bad idea. And as we know, Stafford was placed on IR with a spinal cord contusion. There's a good chance he'll be back, though, in week 17. So, Trev, what's your take on this Baker Mayfield saga? Good for the Rams, good for the Panthers, good for nobody.
It's whatever. I mean, the Rams are 3-9. Even if they win the next 5 in a row, they're 8-9. They're not going to do anything. They can't make the playoffs, so it is what it is. Happy for Baker Mayfield getting yet another shot that he wants to have in the NFL to be the starter. And the Panthers, I guess, don't have to pay that much money or whatever. So it's not really that big of a deal, I think, in my opinion. It's just Baker Mayfield has another starting job, and we'll see what happens. So.
Well, I hope that he gets a shot to do more commercials. That's all I hope for. So what do you think here, Ryan? Any impact here from Baker Mayfield?
No, because, the Rams, I don't think, are actually eliminated mathematically. But, that team's not going anywhere. We've seen all the graphics this week of not just Stafford and Kupp, but, everyone that started on the Super Bowl team is gone. That mattered on the offensive side of the ball. So I don't think it has any implications there. For Baker, I'm not a big Baker Mayfield fan or believer, but I do think it's important that, we recognize that the teams with no stability in their coaching staff, that ruins quarterbacks. And I'd have to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure he predated Stefanski in Cleveland. So he had two coaches in Cleveland. He comes to the Panthers. Yep. His coach is fired halfway through the first season. This is somebody who's had a lot of turnover, and he's played for two loser franchises. So, I think Baker Mayfield is going to turn out to be a solid starter in the NFL? No, but we've seen other guys, have stranger turnarounds and last forever. Colt McCoy, I think, is still on a roster somewhere. So,
yeah, that's true.
I don't think that we've seen the last of Baker Mayfield. And if you're the Rams, it sucks you're out of it. But if you were in it, pretty decent guy to fall into backwards, given their quarterback situation at this point.
Yeah, it was actually the ideal thing for Baker Mayfield, actually, because clearly, if he can't beat out P.J. Walker in Carolina, then it's time to get a fresh start. And getting picked up by the Rams right after, the fact that they've seen what they could do without Matt Stafford. Hey, it's a great opportunity for him to get a look, if nothing else, for his draft or his trade or free agent value next season. Who knows what's going to happen then? There are a bunch of QB needy teams that might need backups. And like you said, there's a lot of those guys who don't have big names who could carry clipboards and make tons of money. And that sounds like a win for me as far as I'm concerned. All right, so let's go ahead to the boxing bell on that one. Let's talk about the next topic. And this is actually kind of related to that because Josh Johnson, super journeyman, is actually the backup here now for the San Francisco 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo went out early in week 13 with what was reportedly a broken foot. But since then, the 49ers coach Kyle Shanahan confirmed that Jimmy G will not need surgery on his broken left foot and will have a much shorter rehabilitation than was feared, but will still be on about a 7 to 8 week timeline. In the meantime, the Niners are going to take their time to figure out what they're going to do with him on a roster standpoint because they've used 6 of their 8 injured reserve returns this year already. The remaining 2 spots have an earmark for defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw and running back Elijah Mitchell. So they don't have to declare anything until they're ready to practice again, but putting Garoppolo on IR may keep him there forever. So for now, he's going to be a weekly inactive on the 53-man roster, which means Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant from last year, who managed to get a win for the 49ers against the Dolphins in Week 13, will continue to be under center. And like I said, Josh Johnson, out of nowhere, backup quarterback for the 49ers. Let me get your take on this first, Ryan. What do you think about this? Because Jimmy G obviously started over there in Patriot land, made his way over to the 49ers, and has been kind of a mixed bag since then, but good enough for the 49ers to win. So what do you think the impact is here for the 49ers?
Yeah, so I think there's actually a real impact. So I've kind of come full circle on Jimmy, where I was, as a Patriot fan, a big believer of him. And I thought he could be, potentially a top 10 quality guy in the NFL. That obviously has not panned out. It was somebody on one of the morning ESPN shows the other day. I can't remember who it was, but they were walking through and they were talking about Jimmy, and they said, I get it that this 49ers team is loaded and, they're a defense first team and they run the ball and they have all these playmakers. And, he made the case again, I forget who it was. Sorry. Can't give credit to it, but that with Jimmy G over the last 5-4 years, whatever it's been, it's something like the 49ers, like 40-9 or something like that. And when he doesn't play, they're like 8-38. So the point that he was making obviously there is, if it's just about everybody else around Jimmy, why can't they ever win when he's hurt? I forget who the match, who was talking, because then somebody responded to him and said, well, does anyone get hurt more than Jimmy G? Which might be fair. maybe that's why I don't build a franchise around him. But again, if anyone could do it, then anyone should have been able to do it. And they've been through a lot. I think this goes back to the C.J. Beathard days in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So it's not so much a statement on Jimmy G. It's just about the data plays out that they are a better team when he's healthy. So, you know, we'll see what this does for them. And it kind of stinks because I honestly, if they were healthy, and they've never really been healthy at the same time this year, they've dealt with a lot of injuries, but that might be the one NFC roster that could challenge the AFC. But not going to happen without their QB one or two.
Yeah, no, that's a tough break for the 49ers. What do you think here, Trev? Impact of Jimmy G's injury, although he may be back, it's kind of a long shot, 7 to 8 weeks.
I think it's huge because, Brock Purdy came in and got the win, but, I mean, it wasn't the whole game. It was like an actual start. And so their defense is lights out. And I think if they do have to make the playoffs, it'll depend on their defense. Brock Purdy just doesn't have that much experience. They're going up against the Seahawks, the Buccaneers, the Commanders, the Raiders, and then the Cardinals. It's a pretty tough schedule for a rookie quarterback. So if they have any chances, I think the defense can hold them down and hold it down until Jimmy G gets back to make a playoff run, hopefully. But as far as right now, no huge impact because you have a gauntlet of a schedule left. So
yeah, Brock Purdy looked pretty good, but I have to say that part of it might have been just nobody scouted him before this. I mean, he's Mr. Irrelevant after all, and who would have in a million years thought that Brock Purdy would be starting or playing a game as a quarterback in the NFL at any point in time? So big W for him. I don't know how it's going to plan out in the future, but certainly an impact on the 49ers, who are actually right now third in the NFC playoff race. So hit the bell on that and talk about the AFC for a second, because the team that's third on the AFC side is the Baltimore Ravens. And Lamar Jackson, near the end of the first quarter in Week 13, left the game dealing with a knee injury, which is now reported to be a sprained PCL and is expected to be sidelined for 1 to 3 weeks. So Jackson has not practiced this week. He's unlikely to play this week, according to Coach Harbaugh. But he wouldn't rule him out. I think that's just playing games. He certainly shouldn't play this week. Tyler Huntley stepped in and managed a fourth quarter come-from-behind victory against the Broncos in Week 13 in an otherwise ugly game on offense and will continue to be under center while Jackson is out. So, Trev, what do you think? What's the impact here of Lamar Jackson's injury and the Ravens' playoff hopes?
It's pretty big, but also at the same time, they have Tyler Huntley backing him up, and we've all seen what he can do. Some people say he's day 2.0. He's still a mobile quarterback. He's shifty. He's fast. He knows the playbook. He's been there forever. So I think it is just by the name and you know, the contract situation, it's huge that he's not playing. But Tyler Huntley will fill in just nicely. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens when he faces an actual team. The Broncos, not too much competition there. What do you think here, Ryan? What's the impact of Lamar Jackson being out for the Ravens?
Negative 50, because they're not one of the three teams that actually has a shot at winning the Super Bowl.
Negative 50. what's our scale here? Holy cow.
The scale is negative 53 to 102.
Okay.
He's at a negative 50. So a little
okay.
Room for Steve.
That's pretty bad.
Tackle,
that's pretty bad, though.
No, you know, I don't, the Ravens aren't a team that I take seriously. They got good coaching, good organization. They've always been good, but is there a team? I mean, and this is coming from a Patriots fan. Is there a team that's done less to support a young quarterback than the Baltimore Ravens have done since he got there? And the answer, I'll just answer for you, is no. So I think this is probably going to negatively really the real impact here will be on the contract situation, because Lamar got hurt again. Hopefully it really just drives home to him that how fleeting this all is, and that you got to get your money when you can. And hopefully that means that he does fight for the contract he deserves. And the Ravens, for not putting any weapons around him, deserve to lose him because they've really just done him a disservice in the whole first, you know, part of his career here. So again, I don't think it has any impact on this year, because they're not a team that I really thought was a real contender. But the long-term effect on the Ravens could be large.
Yeah, and I will say that there is a team I think that has supported their quarterback less, and that would be my Chicago Bears, who are the first team to be statistically eliminated on the NFC from the playoffs. So there you go.
Well, you got to have a real quarterback to support.
No, that's low blow. I mean, we got nothing. You give us something. Come on. All we got is this 3-10 record and nothing to show for it. But anyway, that being said, anything, I'll take anything at this point, right? I'll take anything. Anyway, so let's hit the doctoring bell on that one. Let's talk about Deshaun Watson, because he has returned from his suspension to the Browns this week. He looked absolutely rusty as he labored his way through 131 passing yards, an interception, and 21 rush yards, resulting in a passer rating of just 53.4, and thus being outplayed by the Texans' Kyle Allen, who had a passer rating of 53.5. So this was not a quarterback duel by any stretch of the imagination. It was the first time the Browns failed to score an offensive TD since 2020, and the first time that the Browns scored three non-offensive touchdowns in a game since 1989. So what do you think, Trev? Deshaun Watson, rusty, or is he Russell Wilson-sized bust?
He's rusty. He hasn't played in almost, 2 years now, apparently?
Yeah, 700 games, 700 days or something like that.
Yeah, and NFL game speed is so different from practice reps, throwing with the buddies on a high school field or, playing this and doing that. It's so different. So, of course, he's going to be rusty. He hasn't played in 700 days. But I don't think it'll take him that long to get to where he's going because, obviously, he has been staying in shape and hasn't thrown the football this whole time. So, first game, it'll show right there. But I think the second week will be a little more comfortable, and we'll see what he's capable of doing again.
Well, it's going to be a tough one because he's matched up against the Bengals in week 14. So that'll be a tough one, I think, for him to return to, and he'll have to keep pace with that really the offensive juggernaut that the Bengals are starting to get around into form. So what do you think here, Ryan, about Deshaun Watson's return here? You think this is just rusty game, or you think he's a Russell Wilson-sized bust?
Yeah, no, I think 100% he's just rusty. So I don't have any concern about his ability. A, there's a huge age difference, and B, because I found that storyline more interesting now because a lot of people are saying that about Russell Wilson. Geno Smith looks better than he ever has in his career, and
yeah.
Russell Wilson has never looked worse. So I don't know.
Right.
Maybe it's maybe there's an issue with
coaching.
maybe not issue with coaching. Maybe Pete Carroll somehow is a quarterback whisperer, and we all just didn't know it.
Right. Well, it's entirely possible. I mean, Geno Smith of all people, right? I mean, unbelievable. I mean, if you saw, he actually will have I can't remember. I saw this recently. They're looking at the values for the free agents next year, and he had the third highest value amongst quarterbacks on free agents next year. And that's Geno Smith, someone we had left for dead before his resurrection this year with the Seattle Seahawks. And now he's one of the top QB gets in the – it's like the Ryan Tannehill story all over again in many ways, although he's actually good. So there you go. Who knows what's going to happen there. But, yeah, Deshaun Watson, I also agree. I think he's just rusty. We'll see what's going to do. If he gets the support from his defense and his special teams like he did this last week, he has nothing to worry about. So he's in a good situation there. Boxing bell there. And then let's talk about Tom Brady. Because we can't get past a week without talking about Tom Brady, because he managed to be Tom Brady this week. He had back-to-back touchdown drives, both in under 2.5 minutes each in the fourth quarter to steal a one-point win over the New Orleans Saints, 17-16 in the final 3 seconds of the game. Haven't seen that in a while out of Tom. Of course, it was the Saints on the other hand, but I don't know. It may be the comeback time. Maybe this is the Buccaneers' turning point. What do you think, Ryan? I'm going to give you first shot at this one because I know how you feel about Tom Brady. But Tom Brady and the Bucs, have they turned a corner on Monday Night Football, or are the Saints just absolute crap?
It's a combo of both, maybe, or not. And the Bucs haven't turned a corner because they – was it against the Rams a couple weeks ago? They had the last-minute drive to score to win, and everyone's like, oh, that's going to be the turning point. They rifled off a couple, and then they had a bad loss last week and then bounced back here. So I don't need to turn the corner. Again, I'm just so down on the NFC that I can absolutely foresee an instance where where Brady and the Bucs get a home game for winning the division against somebody, and then the second round they draw the Vikings, and we all know how that team and that quarterback historically have played in those big moments, and then also
right.
Now Brady's in the NFC Championship game again. So it may look like a turning point when all is said and done, but again, I think it's more just a statement on the shape of the league and the shape of that conference than it is about the Bucs all of a sudden having something they haven't had all year. I mean, look, and the last thing I'll say on is, I mean, the offensive line is beat up and
right.
And they haven't really been able to protect Brady all year. So, and that's not getting resolved with the injuries they have on that line. So unless they fix that, no, they're not really turning any corner.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. Then they have a little bit of a tough schedule ahead of them. They got the 49ers, but it's Brock Purdy 49ers. Then they got the Bengals, Cardinals, Panthers, Falcons. Most of those not too bad. Bengals being the biggest test there, I think. But what do you think here, Trev, about the Buccaneers and Tom Brady? Have they turned a corner after Monday Night Football, or is this just a product of their competition on the field that day?
I don't know, man. It's hard. You can never count out Tom Brady. I mean, might not have as many comebacks as he has in his past this year, but he still is able to do that at 45 years old. So, but like I said, like, it took the whole game for us to see for Tom Brady to be Tom Brady.
Right, it did.
Against New Orleans Saints, led by Andy Dalton. So, yeah, there's that. But, I mean, they're still hitting their division at 6-6. All they got to do is win out, and who knows what happens when postseason Tom Brady comes around. So, I don't think it's a turning point. I just think that there's escaping by the skin of their teeth because you have Tom Brady and you're able to do that. So.
Yeah, yeah, and I think I think it's no doubt that they're going to take the NFC South at this point. So he's basically punched his ticket to the playoffs, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So that being said, let's go ahead and talk about the playoffs a little bit, hit the boxing bell. And every week we've been giving our NFC and AFC championship predictions, so I'm going to give Ryan the first shot at this. Predict for us who you think, sitting here today, will be in the NFC championship game and who will be in the AFC championship game.
So, you know, without doing all the seeding machinations in my head, if I'm just going on the teams I believe in the most,
right.
I'm going to say it's the Bills and the Bengals in the AFC. And then in the NFC, because of the situation I just laid out, I'll go Tampa Bay and the Cowboys.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like it. That's a pretty good matchup right there. Trev, what are your thoughts? Have your thoughts changed on who will be in the AFC and NFC championship game?
Yeah, I used to have the Bills and Chiefs, but I'm going Chiefs-Bengals probably, if that's possible, because I think losing Von Miller for the season is huge for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
The reason why they brought him in there was for these types of games, and I don't think they can do that. It might even do something to them mentally, which I hate to say, but yeah, Von Miller for the season, there goes all the momentum you had anyway. So, and then NFC, I'm gonna go Cowboys and, ooh.
Tough one.
Yeah, Tom Brady, Tampa Bay. Here we go. He'll make a run for some reason at 45, and life is good, and he'll be in the NFC Championship game against Dallas.
yeah. It's actually kind of – an NFC is the hardest part about it. So I'm going to – you know, and as everyone knows, I've been big on the Dolphins this year, and that I'm getting a little bit of a bad feeling in the pit of my stomach now after the performance last week. So I'm losing faith in the Dolphins, but I'm going to hold on. I'm going to be crazy. I'm going to be just crazy in AFC. I'm going to say Dolphins and Bengals. And say the Bills and the Chiefs slip up. I think the Bengals have the Chiefs number, and people are starting to figure out that if you don't blitz Patrick Mahomes, he has a hard time actually identifying open lanes. And that actually does slow him down dramatically. And I think the Von Miller thing for the Bills is also a big deal. So I actually wouldn't be surprised to see the Bengals and Dolphins. I'm going to be totally crazy. On the NFC side, it's really hard for me to pick against the Buccaneers being there just because postseason Tom Brady is somebody that we've seen so much of. And I just don't feel strongly about any other team. I think that the Vikings are just super vulnerable, and I think that the Eagles are a product of their offense, but they're already showing cracks in the second half and on their defense, and particularly their run defense. So, yeah, I guess Buccaneers and Cowboys. I just can't believe I'm saying that. But, yeah, I guess Buccaneers and Cowboys for NFC. That's a tough one. All right, let's turn quickly to Week 14 and the games that we want to watch in that have the biggest impact on the playoffs. So, Trev, I'll let you go first because I know you got to jump at some point in order to get on to your next podcast because you are all over the freaking place. What games are you looking at in Week 14?
I'm pulling up the schedule right now because the Commanders are on a bye, so I really don't care. But I'm going to look at after pick one. Eagles-Giants is huge. We play Giants next week. We want the Eagles to lose, obviously, because everybody hates the Eagles, and we just want to make things more interesting. But also, I don't want the Giants to win because that'll help them out for us next week. But anyways, definitely a good one.
Go Jets, for a tie.
Bills, yeah. Jets-Bills should be pretty interesting. I like Sauce Gardner a lot. Let's see if Mike White's a real deal or not because the Bills' defense is still kind of scary without Von Miller. Browns-Bengals, that's a rivalry. It's always a dogfight. Let's see about that. Ravens-Steelers, same. Dogfight about that. And last one, I will probably say the Buccaneers and the 49ers to see if Tom Brady for real has turned the corner or if the 49ers too much. And it doesn't matter.
Their defense is legit. 49ers defense is legit. So what do you think, Ryan? What games are you thinking are the most important in Week 14 in terms of playoff impact?
Yeah, so I'll jump on to that Buccaneers 49ers game. I think that's really important, not just from the Buccaneers angle, but, you know, I already indicated earlier, the 49ers with a real quarterback would be a dark horse team for me. So maybe they catch on some little magic here with Mr. Irrelevant, and if we see that, then, you know, I think in either way, if it's kind of like a low, like the same kind of outcome from the Saints game, then I think we can keep, you know, if it's a 17-16 grind where it's just not really about good defensive play, more about bad offensive play, then I think we can pretty much eliminate either one of those teams from really thinking as a contender. And then on the AFC side, the one that I'm really most interested in is that I, too, have been a believer in the Dolphins this year. And then they, like you said, laid that egg last week, and now they got a team who's still fighting for their playoff lives that is a good up-and-coming team in the Chargers. And so if the Dolphins go out there and convincingly win this game, well, then maybe there's four teams I want to talk about in the AFC going forward. But if they go out there and just squeak one out in a game that, again, isn't played very well by them or looks like they are shrinking in the moment, then I think we can really eliminate them also from the long-term discussion of the season.
Yeah, I love that one. That's actually on my list as well. And I'll say this, Jets and Bills, you know, did you realize the Bills have only won, they've only won one division game so far? So that's, you know, and the Jets have their number last time. So, you know, Jets are coming off a loss. They look pretty good, though, with Mike White at the helm. Jets and Bills, I love that. Vikings and Lions is who I'm looking at right now because the Vikings look like the most vulnerable 10-2 team I've seen in a long time. They won nine of their 10 games this season by one score or less. The Lions have been surging. They won four of the last five. One loss in that time frame by just 3 points to the AFC conference-leading Buffalo Bills. So I like the Vikings and Lions. I think the Lions might be for real, guys. I hate to say it, but I think the Vikings – I'm sorry. I think the Lions might be for real. I think the Vikings might be completely posers here. So Vikings and Lions, I have my eye on that one. And that brings us to the end of the show. Let's get the air horn on the show. And Trevor, why don't you give us your social media? Because I know you got to jump.
At Trev, HTTC on Twitter, Trev_stores on Instagram, Ref the District Podcast, Full Press Commanders, and Football Garbage Time. Appreciate you, man.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Trev. And Ryan, give us your social media because you don't check it enough in order to actually respond to my text, my DMs. So give us your social media so that I can continue to spam you to get you on the show.
Yeah. I'm just going to have to give you my cell phone number. No, but I've actually just launched my own marketing ad agency over the last several months here. So I'm now going to be back on Twitter full time, but promoting a lot more SEO and PPC style tips than I will be posting about sports. But anyways, you can follow me on there at Ryan Whitfield NE. I don't really get enough into the sports takes unless my teams are in it. So in the NFL, I'm pretty quiet this year because I just don't really.
Do you
want
to engage on the Patriots?
Yeah, well, I certainly don't want to talk about that team. But one thing we'll just say about the Bills, just because you guys both kind of mentioned them in a sense today, almost that you don't see them as a prohibitive favorite. You know, one thing I'll say is they kind of remind me, and undeservingly probably, of like the Patriots teams the last 10 years, where I feel like they're not even playing at a level. Or non-New England reference, I'll use the Miami Heat in the early 2010s, where it's just like it just feels like they're coasting autopilot, like, let's just get through the season. It doesn't matter what seed we're in. If we're going to go on the road, if we're going to go home, like we play our best, no one can beat us. And so I wonder if there's some of that going on. Cause I honestly think that's more likely than that they've just all of a sudden gotten bad.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. It'll be really interesting to keep an eye on that one. I mean, it's going to be an exciting end of the season. Cause I think there's a couple big, a whole bunch of question marks there. And we'll hopefully, you'll respond to my DMs and you'll be on another show this season. That'd be great. I would really be terrific if we get you to be on the show again, Ryan. So thanks for joining us, Ryan. It's awesome to have you back on the show. As I said, everybody, he's an OG. He's the actual OG from 2015. Go back and check out our first couple episodes if you want a couple of cringeworthy listens. That's a fun way to make it a drinking game. Make it a drinking game. I think that will make it more fun if you want to listen to it that way. Hey, you can find me on Twitter at FB Garbage Time and on Facebook at the Football Garbage Time page. As usual, thank you for listening and wasting time with us. And thank you, Ryan, for joining us again. Until next time, enjoy your NFL week.
Catch you next time. Thanks again.